Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. In our gospel lesson for today, the Lord encourages his disciples to pray to the Father in his name. And he adds both commands and promises to move us to be faithful in prayer. All right? He adds the command, ask with an exclamation point. And he adds the promise, ye shall receive. All right, now, when Jesus says, whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, he will give it to you, we are not to conceive of God as our holy Santa Claus. All right? This text is not meant to encourage us to ask for whatever we want God to do for us, as if the whole point of prayer was for me to get God to do my will. To pray in the name of Jesus means to pray with faith in Jesus as your Redeemer, and therefore to pray in such a way that you desire the good and gracious will of God to be done in your life. All right? Now, in the second commandment, it says, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Dr. Luther asks, what does this mean? And he said, we should fear and love God that we may not curse, swear, use witchcraft, lie, or deceive by his name, but call upon it in every trouble, pray, praise, and give thanks. Now, almost everything in that passage is self-evident, except for one thing, using witchcraft. All right? We should fear and love God that we may not curse, swear, use witchcraft by God's name. Now, what in the world is Luther talking about? And what is it that God wants us to know? Here is the chief difference between the occult and Christian faith. The occult, no matter what kind of chirping and buzzing that the pagans who practice these things do, they all have one thing in common, and that is their whole enterprise is an enterprise in which they seek to get the spirit world to do my bidding. That is, I use occult practices in order to get God and the world of the spirits to do my will. And the chief thing in all forms of the occult is that the human with his will is smack dab in the middle of the whole thing. All right? What's the use of practicing divination if I can't get what I want? And that's the chief thing that differentiates Christian prayer from witchcraft. The pagan says, the gods have to do what I want them to do, and if they don't, I'm not going to worship them. But the Christian, he says, not my will, but thy will be done. It is the good and gracious will of God that he sent his Son down from heaven. He became incarnate in order to accomplish the good and gracious will of God. When the angel of the Lord announced the birth of Christ, the heavenly host appeared and they sang the praises of Christ. They said, "Glory be to God on high, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." You see, the coming of Christ is the good and gracious will of God for the salvation of the world. And therefore, what Jesus always wanted was that God's good and gracious will be done in his works and in his life. And following Christ, the thing that the Christian, the faithful Christian, desires is that God's good and gracious will would be done in our lives. So that when we pray as Christians, we are always praying that God would grant us his help and his provision according to his gracious good will. That's why whenever a Christian prays for spiritual benefits, like greater faith and wisdom, etc., he prays unconditionally. Why? Because the Word of God teaches us that it is always God's will to grant us these things. All right. So when we pray for faith, for patience, for strength, all of those spiritual benefits, we know he wants to give these things unconditionally, and we therefore pray for them unconditionally. However, when we pray for temporal blessings, this is where our flesh often gets in our way, and our fleshly desires easily masquerade themselves as the will of God. And we think that because we want something to turn out in a certain way, that God ought to do it, and if he doesn't, then prayer has failed. But such, my friends, is not the case. And in our catechism and in the Holy Scriptures, we learn that whenever we pray for temporal benefits, we always pray, "If it be thy will." Why? Because we do not always know what is good for us, and God often grants us temporal blessings in such a way that the answer looks different from the request. All right? Have you not had the experience where you have been praying in this direction and you were tempted to believe that your prayer wasn't heard, and then kind of sneaking up from over here, some blessing comes into your life and you didn't expect that and weren't looking for it at all? You see, you pray. You thought this is what you needed, but God knows this is what you needed. And so God sent the right thing, and he sent it at the unexpected hour. Meanwhile, you're looking over here and thinking God has abandoned you, but then he grants you to see, "Oh, I was thinking wrongly." And so it is when we pray. We pray in accordance with God's will. Now, the disciples here, he says, "You guys, you haven't prayed in my name at all yet." hitherto you have asked nothing in my name. So he encouraged them, ask and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. What is it that makes us reluctant to pray? And I know that sometimes we feel a little bit uneloquent when we start to pray, and we don't know what to ask for. We don't know how to put it in words. We've heard really eloquent prayers, and our prayers are not like that. And sometimes our lack of eloquence means that we feel shy about praying. Other times, we feel, and this is kind of a funny thing, but even Christians get this, I don't want to bother God. Like, God is busy. You know, like, God is this, he's this guy up in heaven with this computer with three screens, and he's really busy. And, you know, he is just frazzled. He's frazzled, running the universe, creating every little atom, you know. And God is like, he's just like at his wit's end with busyness. I don't want to bother God because, you know, God is, all right. What that is, my friends, listen, it's doubt. It's insecurity and doubt based upon a failure to apprehend the wonder of what Christ has done for us. And so Jesus says this. He says, in that day ye shall ask in my name, and I say unto you, not that I will pray the Father for you, for the Father himself loveth you, because ye have loved me and believe that I came out from God. I came forth from the Father and am come into the world. Again, I leave the world and go to the Father. Now, what's Jesus talking about here? He's talking about the fact that your situation before God has undergone a radical change because the Father sent his Son into the world to accomplish our redemption. And now that the redemption that Christ came to accomplish is finished, he leaves the world and goes back to the Father, which means that our access and our assurance of grace and mercy and our status as the blood-bought children of God is sure and certain. Because Christ came into the world, he did the will of the Father for our redemption. Now he leaves the world and returns to the Father, which means that the mission is accomplished. The reconciliation is complete. God's ears are open to your prayers as if he had nothing better to do. You hear that? All right? That's the truth about the magnificence of the accomplishment of our redemption in Christ. Jesus says, listen, I'm not saying that I'm going to pray to the grumpy Father for on your behalf, that God will listen to me, but he won't listen to you. I'm not implying that. I'm not saying that God still has a problem with you, but he doesn't have a problem with me. So I'm going to go up there and I'm going to put in a few good words for you, and God will. I'm not implying that. What he's saying, what I mean to say is this. The Father himself loves you. He sent me into the world to redeem you from sin. And he loves you because you have loved me and you have believed that I come out from God. Therefore, not only does Jesus love you, but God the Father and God the Holy Ghost love you. And they are ever active on your behalf so that you flourish in the grace of God, even if you are the only person left on earth. You see this? So, heaven is always open to your prayers. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost are never too busy or preoccupied to listen to your prayers because they are eternal beings and they are eternally gracious and filled with goodwill and forgiveness and mercy towards you for the sake of Jesus Christ. And that's what praying in the name of Jesus means. It means that we come to God solely on the basis of the redeeming work of Christ. And we dare to approach God because his beloved Son has reconciled him to us and us to him. And that reconciliation gives us total and complete access to God. So therefore, let's lay aside all of the doubts and the uncertainties that are connected with prayer. And let us remember that because Jesus has come into the world, redeemed us perfectly once and for all, and has now returned and sits at the right hand of God, that we therefore who believe in him have access to the throne of grace, and therefore we may pray at any moment. As a matter of fact, your whole life of faith is a continuous prayer. Every moment of your life, your spirit prays as you live out your life. And that's one of the reasons why you're often thinking about God and his word. It's because your relationship with God is always open. And God's word bears witness to this in your heart. All right, amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.